The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Part of the reason that we're playing that is because poor old Mike Hanrahan has been on his uppers ever since Liveline took that tune off. That was paying him one day, every day, since Marion Finucane first did it. And then there's a big upheaval and suddenly he's living on the clippings of tin. Mike, how are you?
I'm struggling.
What was that tune originally called? Because it's now the Liveline theme tune. That's all it's known as.
Yeah, it was called the Over the Moors to Maggie was the reel. And it was recorded in 1985 at an album called Full Flight. And the album was that album that we kind of stretched the boundaries musically big time. We really stretched it. So I'm very proud of the album and delighted that we got that played for just 28 years.
It's amazing. Yeah. And not only the fact that it got played for 28 years, that it became so synonymous in people's lives with the point of the day, with the style of programming. I mean, there's not many songs where you can play and everybody instantly knows. I know exactly what that is.
It was great.
And what it connotates. How did you know they were going to use it originally? Did they? Because it must have been fairly fresh out when it was.
Yeah, it was the album. And the producer was Julian Vignoles. Remember Julian?
I do.
And he rang me and said, can we use, would you mind if we use? Yeah, because Marion Finucane was doing it. And then we were delighted. And then, of course, when Marion left and...
Did you not pause and say, well, let's talk terms here? Let's...
Oh, the terms are already established.
Oh, are they? Good.
Okay, right. Imro obviously said that. They have the rules and regulations there. They must pay. But then Joe Duffy took
of
over.
Of whom you were a former deputy chair of Imro.
I was chairman for 6 years, yeah. Back in another lifetime completely, yeah.
So then Joe took over.
Yeah, so we thought then it was gone, you know. The music was gone. But no, Joe kept it and he had us on loads of times. I did loads of stints on the show with him over various subject matters and we always had a bit of crack with the tune and yeah, it was great.
So then I believe that they had I thought this was very decent. They rang you to say, listen.
I couldn't believe it. Like on the Friday I got a call from producer because I had a great association with the show. And she rang and said, I'm really sorry. I said, well, that alone does it for me. You're grand. What can I say? I mean, it was really nice.
Now, there's a person that I want to talk to you about because I hadn't realized your association with her. I watched many, many years ago, Gangs of New York, and I was listening to the soundtrack and there was this woman who sang, I think the song was Sleepy Eyed Boy. And I thought, by God, her voice is extraordinary. So I began to listen to her music and became something of a fan. This, of course, is Maura O'Connell. Oh. Maura O'Connell and you started off together. In the 70s.
We started out with a duet called Tumbleweed. And it was we were kind of put together by a friend of ours, TV Horner, who went on to he's now the man behind the festivals in Waterford City. He runs theatre down there. But he was from Ennis. And he got the two of us together when we were teens. And we started listening to Amy Lou Harris was just out at the time. She was just beginning to break. All that new Americana music, Rodney Crowell. And we jumped on it and we learned a whole bunch of new songs. I was writing songs even at that time. And we had a gorgeous time together. She was just incredible vocalist. And we've been friends ever since.
And she followed that Americana trend. She took off to the States, didn't she? And
she
spent a long time out there.
She ended up in Nashville. She's still living in Nashville. And Bella Fleck was an incredible five-string banjo player. And they fell in love and just shared a good few years together and albums. And Bella got her involved with all the local Nashville musicians, the top, the creme de la creme. And she was working with them. And she had a Grammy nominee for one of her albums. And she's done amazing work. And she's worked with everybody and anybody. Yeah, Maura's great.
I get the sense that period, I mean, that there's a bunch that seem to overlap a lot. There's the Emmy Lou Harris, Bonnie Raitt, Mark Knopfler, John Prine. There's a sort of a cohort that seemed to weave in and out of each other's music a lot. It must have been a nice period to be involved in both Irish and American folk and trad.
Yeah, I think it was beautiful. And there was a great folk club circuit in Ireland and it was called the Fáinne. And little towns had little folk clubs that run and they'd look out for each other. They had meetings as the head of, I don't know, there was a guy from Clonmel who used to run it and he used to say, we used to meet twice a year. we'd meet for inside in a room, we'd discuss who's coming, and that would take 10 minutes, and then we'd have a party. And it was, everybody walked out. So you were gigging every night of the week. You'd go from folk club to folk club, and everybody was, it was one poster. It was ideal. And it was great for us. We were young. We did a couple of gigs, and then we got our own tour, and that started us out. Yeah.
Of all of the people, because obviously your link with Ronnie Drew is one of the people that you are sort of most synonymous with in the public mind. But across either gigging or recording, who has been the partnership or fellow musician or fellow performer who has lingered with you the most? Which is the one that had the biggest impact on you?
Oh, that's a tough question, Anton, because they're all friends, and I've had amazing experiences with all of them. They were great people. If I had to choose one for the sake of today, have to be Ronnie Drew for me, because we had such a beautiful friendship. We had a very deep friendship, and we worked together for years and years together as a duet, and then we worked with Eleanor Shanley, came and joined us for a good few years. But Ronnie, yeah, he taught me a lot, and we looked out for each other. I always say that with Ronnie and myself, he was my father, he was my brother, and he was my son. And that's how the relationship was. We kind of looked out for each other and protected each other, and we had so much fun. And we loved food, and we loved nice hotels, and we loved gigs, you know.
He taught you a lot about what?
About entertainment first, the stage, the professionalism of it. He taught me a lot about Irish literature. He introduced me to some great writers that I would have passed by. And my love of literature has remained with me since that. I love reading all the old books, the old writers, the classics, because Ronnie always had a book in his pocket. No matter where he was, he'd have the book in his pocket. And during the years I was with him, he wasn't drinking at all for the entire time we were together. So he was at the top of his game as a performer. And we had theatre shows that we were writing together. We did a few albums. But he always had the book.
What were the books, and what were the books that he got you an interest in? When you say you read the classics, what?
Well, I'm gone mad now, because I over Christmas I read Gulliver's Travels, and I'm now delving into the Divine Comedy, which is bonkers.
Oh, I wish you luck.
It's great. But I discovered a great way, and I've read Ulysses because of Ronnie, but I find a great way to read these. The audio books are great, and then you can get the printed one. And also, all these books have a podcast somewhere where people explain what's going on. So I believe I've read Ulysses twice. I've read the podcast, and I've read the book. And so, but it was Ronnie.
Does it get any better by the second journey round?
I was fascinated by it.
But does Gulliver's Travels stand up?
Oh yeah,
does it?
Oh my God, I thought Gulliver's Travels was about a giant in Lilliput. Not at all. I mean, Dean Swift was an amazing man. I read his biography last year, and that's what kind of got me into reading.
Extraordinary. That's an extraordinary legacy.
Incredible legacy. And particularly with the world I'm involved in now with dementia. He died with a dementia. And he just introduced me to this world in his biography, and I said, I have to read Gulliver's again. And I loved it. There's four stories, but the last one I love most is the one where he arrives in a land where horses are running the land. The Hooninums, they're called. And the locals, the people, are called Yahoos. So he invented the word Yahoo.
Is that so?
Yeah, back hundreds of years ago.
Am I right in saying, maybe I have this wrong, did he end up being treated in his own institution when he had dementia?
Yeah, he left all his money to the institution here in Dublin. And he left the last 10 years of his life. He was much kind of a recluse in a lot of ways. He was struggling with his own dementia, but he also had vertigo and other difficulties. And yeah, it's a fascinating life he had. Really fascinating. And what a writer. I mean, God.
So do you now walk around like Ronnie with a book in the pocket?
I do, actually. And well, I have it on my phone. But I do. I always have books, yeah.
You're gigging currently. You're heading for Donabate today, isn't that right?
Yeah, we're sold out gig tonight in Donabate for Tradfest. Ralph McTell is coming over, and Ralph is a really dear friend of ours. I met Ralph first on the second gig I ever did with Stockton's Wing, with support to Ralph McTell, and we've been friends ever since. He had a place in Putney, and there was a great gig in Putney called the Half Moon in Putney, big gig in London, and we used to play there a lot. And Ralph got us, even his agent became our agent for a while. So it's always great to communicate with him.
I always wonder if you're Ralph Mitel, is your greatest success, does it become annoying? Does he get plagued for the streets of London?
He does. I've plagued him this week. And I rang him during the week because we had a few songs. He sings a few songs before and we're going to do those. And then I said, you have to do Streets of London, Ralph. And I said, and as I said this, Ralph, I'm running out the door. but he'll do it. He's great. I mean, he really respects what the song has done for him and his life and his career. He's very proud of it. So.
Oh, and it's such a beautiful, I mean, lyrically, I mean, yesterday's paper selling yesterday's news. I mean, it's just tear to the eye stuff every time, isn't it?
Amazing. And we listened to him when we were kids in youth clubs in Ennis. And to have somebody that close by, because his music introduced me to Pentangle and Fairport Convention, because that was his crew, that was his hangout crew. Yeah.
Well, if you're allowed to do it to Ralph Mitel, I'm allowed to do it to you. So we're going to play out of The Beautiful Affair, whether you like it or not. it is a pleasure as ever. Mike Hanrahan. And if people want to find out, it is MikeHanrahan.com, isn't that right?
MikeHanrahan.com.
So that is details of gigs. And it also has some very interesting stuff on the kind of research that you've been doing, thanks to the Trinity Fellowship. So MikeHanrahan.com if you want to find out more.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.